Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, listeners. We're live from Freedom Fest, and we've got David from Start 9 Labs with us today. David, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Fantastic. Doing well. First interview of the day, so got our coffee going. Everyone's ready to go.
Yeah, mine too. I think I'm going to be booked solid.
Yeah. So you have a booth here at Freedom Fest, and you have a very interesting product. And would you want to give our listeners, maybe if they're not familiar with what Start 9 does, give them a little backstory, background?
Sure. I think it's important when you're talking about what we do to understand the way that the internet works today. And what we have today is the client-server model. And what that means is that whenever you go to a website, say that you're going to Google because you want to share some photos with family, you're going to Google's cloud, and the cloud just means someone else's computer. So you're going to Google's computers, and you're asking permission after you've created an account. You're asking permission, can I get my data? Can I get my photos and share those with my friends and family? And, you know, that's all good and fine as long as it is, but if for some reason they want to sell your data, which they'd certainly do, that's their business model, or if they want to turn off your account at any time, they have the ability to do that. What we do is we create personal servers, so that cloud becomes yours. So we create a very small computer that you can put next to your router, and just like your router, you can kind of forget about it, access it from your phone and your laptop. And if you want to share like a photo album, you just give a link to your friends or family, and they can click that, and they're accessing your computer, which you are not going to censor, and you are not going to use facial recognition to track yourself across the internet. You're not going to make money by advertising to yourself, and so it's a way to take control of your data.
So, okay, I'll interject a little bit here, and I said before we started that I'll kind of play the layman here.
Sure.
So, okay, if people are looking at how to protect their data and all this stuff, and they've heard of like a VPN before, how is this different? Like, what level of layers of protection are you dealing with your product compared to like a VPN service?
Okay, that's a good question. So, a VPN is a way to kind of shield your internet traffic in general. And that's going to be something that you're going to run on your computer or on perhaps your router. And so that's a little bit different than what we're talking about here. That's going to protect your connection in general. What we have is that personal server where you're actually storing your data. Now, there are a lot of security and privacy advantages the way that we've built this out because everything is run by default over the Tor network. And the Tor network, similar to a VPN, is end-to-end encrypted, which means that anyone is trying to look at your traffic from the middle that shouldn't be, they're just going to see a bunch of garbage. So it is end-to-end encrypted, and it is a peer-to-peer network as well. So there are some similarities there to a VPN, but it's a little bit different. So we're not actually funneling all of your houses or your office's traffic through a VPN, but the traffic that you are using to and from your personal server, our device, the embassy, that is all encrypted and secured.
Okay.
So... Now, I know we also talked about this a little bit before. Could you walk through, like, our listeners that may not be consider themselves very tech savvy on the setup? Because I know
sure.
that it seems very straightforward, but some people just, when it comes to technology, they just want to set it and forget it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the experience that we're trying to create. So we have a box about the size of a deck of cards. And that's it. That's the device. That's your personal server. And what you're going to do is you're going to plug an Ethernet cable directly into your router. And so you're going to set that device right next to your router. And you're going to plug it into the power. And when it boots up, it's going to make a startup beep. And then it's going to make a chime. Those two noises let you know that it's ready to go. And then from there, you'll access it via a phone app. And it'll walk you through the setup. The setup is just a couple of steps. And what that's doing is... that's producing all those encryption keys that are securing those connections at that time. And what that means is that as those are created at that time on your network, we, the company, Start9, have no access to any of that. And so that's what that brief setup process is for. And so that process is just a couple of minutes. We have a video online. If you have any trouble with it, we're happy to walk you through it. We're very proud to help people. We're proud to have a good customer service where we actually interact with people if they do have an issue and need a hand. But yeah, it's just a few minute setup process. And then from there, the experience is just like an app store on a phone. So you've got a one-click install of whatever kind of software that you want to install from our marketplace.
Okay, so that's easy enough that I could teach my grandma how to do it.
Yeah, certainly. there's definitely a little bit of a learning curve with some of the services, especially if you're using, for example, the Bitcoin or Lightning nodes. Those are going to have some learning curve to them. Again, we're there to help you out. We've got a strong community. Oftentimes, our community members will jump into our chats and answer questions before even we get a chance to. So
okay.
There is a strong community. We are making it as grandma-friendly as possible, but as I said, there might be a little learning curve there.
Right.
So if you could, for somebody that just doesn't care about privacy or any of the stuff we're talking about, what elevator pitch would you give them, just like your most fiery, passionate pitch on security and privacy? Why does it matter?
Sure. The first thing I'd ask for is your passwords, your banking details, your social security number, your mother's maiden name. And if they still don't care about privacy after giving me all of that, then I guess I would explain to them that I believe personally that, and honestly, I probably speak for Start9 as well when I say this. I try to separate my opinions and the company's opinions, but they sure. meld quite a bit. I would say that privacy ought to be the default for humanity and their communications and their digital lives. So when you own a piece of data, such as a family photo album, that's something that is supposed to belong to you. You took those pictures, they're of you, they're of your friends and family. There's no reason that Facebook or Google should be able to take possession of that and then make money off of it, or use it to track you across the internet, or to spy on you, or to share that information with government agencies, for example.
Right. So let me ask this, another layman question. But to my understanding, like I use Signal for a group chat with several friends, and while I understand that it's more secure than something like iMessage, I have a friend who is like well versed in military like intel, and he said that if they really want to, like, they have complete access to Signal. So the way I look at it is, if let's say the NSA wants anything I have done, like, they could probably just get like a recording of my screen. So I mean, ultimately, what levels of security are possible, and then what is just like completely out of our hands, if that makes sense? Like, to what level can you actually protect yourself?
Yeah, absolutely, that's a great question, and it's one that we get a lot. So security and privacy are kind of a sliding scale. So, for example, if you're being targeted directly by the NSA or FBI or, you know, any of these other alphabet boys, there's a good chance that there's not much you can do because
sure.
the technology exists to, for example, scan your entire home for all kinds of different electrical frequencies and pick up things as small as the flickers coming out of a monitor to recreate a display, within a van down the street or something. They could pick up on your keyboard strokes and figure out what you're typing. So if you're being directly targeted, there's kind of not a lot that you can do.
Right.
So when you get to that level, privacy is essentially dead.
Right.
The good news is that they simply are not doing that and cannot do that to everybody.
They just don't
have the manpower. They would like to automate all that, I'm sure. But luckily for us, when you start moving up that scale away from direct targeting of that nature, the tools that we have available to us are quite powerful. So you mentioned Signal. Signal is a great messaging application. I use it all the time. I've got a lot of friends and family on it. It's easy to use, all that. The encryption is very strong on it. The one weakness to Signal is that the infrastructure belongs to Signal. So for one, we don't know exactly what software they're running. We're kind of trusting them on that. And for two, a lot of that infrastructure is going to be in large data centers owned by these big tech giants like Amazon, for example. So we recently added Matrix, which is an open chat protocol, to the embassy. And Matrix is very similar in that it's an end-to-end encrypted chat protocol. You can do group chats, you can do all the things you would expect from a modern messenger. The difference is that that server is running on your little deck of cards sized device that you got sitting next to your router, and then it's just talking to other computers just like it.
Okay.
So you don't have to trust any central infrastructure, any third party.
So you become the infrastructure.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is the broad scope of this, is to eventually we take control of all the infrastructure of our own communications.
And then as it grows, you know, you could start having whole families be their own infrastructure, communities and that.
Yeah, yeah, and we've designed this device as a personal server, so it's intended for one person. There are a few services such as Matrix which allow multiple sign-ins, so it could be used for a small household, for example, if you're not storing a lot of heavy data. Now that we're adding external drive support, you can actually add quite a bit of data to the extent that you want to, you know, how big of a hard drive that you want. But you could have a couple of users on these, although we advise them for personal use. And then in the future, we will probably start to expand out to bigger hardware.
No, and this is, I mean, not to pivot too much here, but is your device, the Embassy, is it like an original technology? Are there other competitors out there, or how new is this market of security?
Yeah, so the so let's take a step back here and just say that what we built is an operating system that allows you to easily host your own open source software, okay? And that's something that's been possible for a long time. It's always been possible to host your own software. The problem is that it's required a lot of technical expertise and systems administration experience. And what we did is we just made it a very familiar, you know, one-click install for each of those services. Kind of experience. So there are some other kind of similar projects. We seem to be fairly unique to my knowledge. It's possible that there's another company out there or another project out there that I don't know about that's doing something like this. But as far as I can tell, our particular approach is fairly unique at the moment.
Okay, awesome.
I was going to say, you know, I may not be the most tech savvy, but I do try to keep my ear to the ground for new, like, I'll call it disruptive technologies like that. And I haven't heard of any. Like, when I had heard of Start 9, that was the first.
Yeah, there are a lot of projects that do basically Bitcoin and Lightning full nodes in a box. So that's not particularly unique. There are a lot of those projects. A lot of them are very good. A lot of our customers run both our device and another Bitcoin node, as Bitcoin's one of the killer apps on our device. However, we made it very generalized to where you could run those other services, like your file storage or your photo storage or password manager. We have Mastodon on there, which is like a Twitter replacement, so you can even get your own social media under control to where no one can censor your free speech.
Okay.
So, yeah, a lot of different general purpose.
You do have a Bitcoin app on there, and I'm pretty sure many of our listeners are at least aware of Bitcoin or into the community. Is that Bitcoin app include the full node?
Yeah, so that Bitcoin application is a Bitcoin Core full node. It is currently set to be a prune node, which means that you download and verify the entire blockchain.
Yep.
And then it discards all of the data with the exception of the blocks that you need for your own personal transactions and the most recent blocks. Now that we're moving to large external drives, you can either do the same, which is going to suit just fine for most people's needs, or if people would like to do the full archival node, which means you store that full blockchain
that
in
runs,
perpetuity.
Yeah, everything.
That, yeah, and that does allow you a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more advanced use cases for your Bitcoin nodes, so you could run other services on top of that that you wouldn't be able to run on a prude node necessarily.
Okay, that's really awesome. That's a big sell, because I know that a couple of my friends in the community have been, you know, telling people, run your own nodes, store your own Bitcoin.
Yep.
So this is good. It's a good practical way to get all your tools all in one setup.
Yeah, and it's really great now that it's so easy to run Bitcoin nodes. That's actually how I found out about the company. Is I was running my own Lightning nodes at home. I was building them from scratch, and you know, I was doing it the hard way, as I was kind of just explaining. And I was like, this sucks. No one is going to want to use Bitcoin and Lightning if this is how difficult it is to set up. And I was just really depressed about that situation and kind of just kept doing it and plugging along and being grumpy about it. And then a buddy of mine told me about these guys, and I bought one of their devices, plugged it in, fired it up, had a one-click install Bitcoin, one-click install Lightning, and I was like, well, if it's this easy, people might actually use this. Yeah. Like, it really gave me hope. And so, you know, I had to get a hold of them and be like, hey, I want to help. You know, I was working for myself at the time. I didn't need a job. But I was so aligned with these guys, and I also heard them on a podcast, and they were speaking my language. So I definitely had to jump in and give them a hand.
So before we started recording just now, you were kind of giving me your backstory about how you came to kind of the libertarian anarchism. Just in a nutshell for the listeners, you want to kind of give your backstory?
Sure, yeah. So I spent a lot of time doing like physical labor and menial work. I was working in like warehouses, factories, assembly lines, excuse me, and self-teaching myself technology when I was at home, different kind of skills that I was talking about earlier, like systems administration stuff and Linux. While I was doing those jobs, I was had my headphones in 10, 12 hours a day, and I'm just sucking down history, philosophy, anarchism, economics, and then Bitcoin came out, and I started listening to what cryptocurrencies could do. And so I was learning all this stuff, and I kind of came into this kind of field, I guess, with that background in anarchism and an understanding a little bit differently than sometimes Bitcoin brings people into those. And for me, I came into Bitcoin from those.
Okay. That's very interesting. Now our format for the listeners, we're going to do like 10, 15, 20 minute interviews and just kind of like break them up that way. So, is there anything you want to close on? You want to tell people like where to find Start9 and you know, what the products, you know, where to find them?
Sure, yeah. The easiest way is going to be to hop on start9.com. That's S-T-A-R-T, the number 9.com. You can find us there. You can find us on Telegram and Matrix, Start9 Community, if you search on there. Our website also has all of those channels. And I think we're on social media as well, Twitter and Mastodon. I don't think we do Facebook, but it's possible. I don't know. I haven't
Good
had Facebook
you.
In
yeah,
a long
not,
time.
You're not missing anything on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I've heard it's kind of a...
It's boomer book at this point.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Yeah, it's just
it's
nothing
there,
but
yeah.
Terrible dialogue and nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, and also feel free to reach out to me directly. We're real, really pride ourselves on customer support, so you can reach out to me directly, david@start9labs.com. That's labs, L-A-B-S.
All right. Well, awesome. David, thank you for stopping by the booth and talking with us.
Thanks
so much for having me on.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.